Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
It is Bad Take Boulevard on the Killer Bees every Thursday at 2 o'clock. Who had the worst takes of the week? Who made the list? I was just kidding, Andrew. You didn't make Bad Take Boulevard. I just wanted to make you sweat a little bit. You're not making your debut on Bad Take Boulevard, at least this week.
He was worried, by the way.
I know. I wanted to make him sweat for a few minutes. He didn't have a bad... Although the one he had yesterday could have made the list. It's a good point. He had a guilty conscience.
Yeah, he sold himself
out. He had a guilty conscience.
You didn't like that spread, huh? U of H game?
The Cougs have not been great at home when it comes to covering games. They've won plenty, but covering is another story.
Yeah, yeah, that could have made the list, though. You're right. But you were able to avoid the list this week. LeBron James wasn't, though. Listen to what LeBron James had to say after the NBA slam dunk contest about the winner, Mack McClung.
He solidified himself as one of the greatest slam dunk competitors that we've had in the history of the game. Just some of the dunks that he had wasn't a surprise for me. I've seen him, being a high school sensation and seeing him dunk the basketball for quite a while now. So, but it was, some of the dunks that he had was just was very unique, and his hang time, his swag that he had out there too was organic to himself. And
LeBron's voice is not really aging well, much like his NBA career. That said, what he said about Mack McClung is he said that Mack McClung is one of the great slam dunk competitors in the history of the game. I know I said earlier this week that Mack McClung shouldn't have been in the NBA slam dunk contest, but he put on a great show. I'm not going to deny that. He was outstanding. He was awesome. He should have won. He deserved to win, all of that.
No,
but he is not one of the greatest slam dunk competitors in the history of the game. Dominique, Jordan, Vince Carter. We're putting McClung in that conversation. Quit it, LeBron.
Even guys with lesser names but bigger performances, Aaron Gordon, and even the Dwight Howard Superman year. But you're talking about when Aaron Gordon, when he showed at his size the jumping ability. It's one thing to just say, I can get to the rim, I can do these things. But the different guys that have done it to a different level throughout the years – I mean, I know you don't want to give Mack McClung his flowers.
No, I'll give him his flowers for his performance.
But just and his lack of NBA game experience. But from a standpoint of trying to save what has become a gimmick instead of a true competition at All-Star Weekend, Mack McClung was a one-man show in terms of saving the dunk contest for another year. Because if you remember a year earlier with Jalen Green, it was embarrassing. It was the worst dunk contest of all time, and people were talking about pulling the plug on it completely. Mack McClung, who has been a social media superstar for his ability to do what he did in the dunk contest ever since he was in high school, continues to do this. It has nothing to do with whether he's an NBA player or not. He did what the NBA needed him to do. That's why the NBA had him lined up to do this, whether he got signed by the Sixers or not, because this thing has been fledgling and hanging on by a thread, and it was ready to go away. At least thanks to Mack McClung, he saved the day for the NBA. But that doesn't put him in the same stratosphere as the guys you were rattling off.
He said he's one of the greatest slam dunk competitors in the history of the game. Guys like Jordan and Neek and Vince Carter, people on the Twitch are making fun of LeBron for saying, of course he knew who Mack McClung was whenever he was in eighth grade. There's a sales pitch, and then there's a lie, Blankers. And the New York Jets, in their pursuit of David Carr's brother Derek, are liars. Here was Deanna Rossini on ESPN talking about what the Jets told David Carr's brother.
They ran through top to bottom of why Derek Carr can step in here and take this team not just to the playoffs, but to the Super Bowl. And they made it really personal, too. They said, we believe if you come to New York and win, you could be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
The Jets have made the list on Bad Take Boulevard. Whoever was there with the sales pitch for David Carr's brother, Derek Carr, Blankers, does not belong anywhere near Canton, Ohio, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Absolutely not. I mean, look, having been through the smoke show of blowing smoke completely in one direction.
Are you calling Derek Carr a smoke show?
No, I'm talking about the fact that when you do it in NBA free agency, you meet in the most luxurious hotel you can find, wherever that player wants to meet. And then you just get a flamethrower to blow as much smoke up a certain orifice of his upset free agent's anatomy as much as you can until they get overwhelmed by the fact that they want to play for you. That's exactly what the Jets are doing. They're doing – I saw what the Rockets did year after year with everybody from Carmelo Anthony to chasing LeBron to all the things that they did and the gifts that they gave these guys and the things that they told them and the presentations they put on videos. Derek Carr's nowhere near a first ballot Hall of Famer. If we're sitting there debating Eli Manning and he's won two Super Bowls and two MVPs of those Super Bowls, and you're looking at Derek Carr and thinking he's having a hard time getting in, or at least there's people that are questioning it, and you're saying Derek Carr could be a first ballot Hall of Famer, he better run off three or four Super Bowls in a row then, because there's no chance he is.
If I was David Carr's brother and the Jets told me that, I couldn't take that organization seriously, and I would say, sorry, Jets, you're out. I have zero interest in playing in your organization.
Unless they want to throw – they're so silly about that they also want to throw silly money at me, and they really want to just make it overly worth my while, then I don't care if I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer or not, because in the bank department I am.
Oh, I can be bought. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I'll just ask your boy if you want to fight him.
Oh,
Paul.
Logan Paul? Yeah. I want to fight Logan Paul. That guy wouldn't stand a chance with me. He would stand no chance. I'd knock him out in the third round. Logan Paul would go down in the third round. He's a fraud. He's a fake fighter. He buys people to take dives. He's not going to buy me. I would knock him out in the third round.
You went from running from him to collect the check to now saying you would knock him out.
I'm going to knock him out in the third round.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to collect a check in the process.
It's only a two-round fight.
Logan Paul doesn't have a chance going toe-to-toe with Branham.
Okay.
Dana Brown has been saying that he wants to sign players to extensions. We saw with Christian Javier, sign him to a five-year deal. You know, he's said he's talked to the agents of others as well. I posted the other day about if you're Dana Brown and you're an Astro fan, would you be okay locking up – we talked about it on the air a little bit yesterday too. Would you be okay locking up Jeremy Pena and or Hunter Brown to a 6-8-year deal akin to what we saw with Atlanta? Whenever Atlanta signed Spencer Strider to a 6-year deal, Michael Harris to an 8-year deal in their rookie year. I had somebody named at Cappy 514 who is landing on the list of Bad Take Boulevard this week say this about Jeremy Pena in the Houston Astros organization. He said, no disrespect to Pena, but aren't there some higher regarded shortstop prospects in the Astros pipeline? Pena didn't really have an overall great year. I guess buying out his R plus one or two free agent years isn't a bad thing. So at Cappy 5514, not disrespecting Pena, yet at the same breath saying that there's better shortstops in the Houston Astro minor league system than the World Series ALCS Gold Glove Jeremy Pena.
Here we are talking about the fact that he had a good regular season, a great postseason, and I've been the one that's been pushing back on the long-term deal for just the next half a season or so and saying if he continues on the same trajectory, wrap the guy up. Like, there's nobody better in and around your system from offense to defense to all the different things he brought to the table. He had pop when you needed it. He hit on the biggest stage, did the things better than you could have expected replacing a Carlos Correa. Find me all these prospects in an organization that has been labeled one of the worst farm systems over the last couple of years because how depleted it got, that you can tell me, I mean, start naming names. Start telling me where these prospects are, who they are, and how quickly they're going to get there to make us forget Jeremy Pena, because I don't see him.
Let's go to this next one from Todd McShay. You might remember Todd McShay had a thing or two to say about Jalen Carter. If you don't remember, we got you. Here was McShay on Jalen Carter about a month ago.
With Carter, there's some character issues. Does he get along with everybody? What's he like to deal with in the locker room? Those sorts of issues. I know it's early in the process, but I'm forewarning everyone out there. Carter's going to be kind of a hot button name when we talk about some of the intangible aspects of it.
So that was Todd McShay saying that Jalen Carter is going to be a character issue. And then Todd McShay also had Jalen Carter as his number one overall draft prospect on his big board. You tell me how that happens. Character concern, best player on your draft board. I don't know. But anyways, it came out, this was a day ago, that Jalen Carter, apparently, while he was at Georgia, he found out that walk-ons couldn't eat with the team. Walk-ons in college football, they can't eat team meals, things like that. And Jalen Carter decided to lead a movement where they were going to cover the cost of walk-ons being able to eat. He used his scholarship money basically to buy food for the walk-ons on Georgia's football
team. See, that's phenomenal. And that's whether you say, oh, he was coached up after what McShay said or not. It doesn't matter. You see a guy that understands.
Well, how can he be coached up? It's happened during the year. It happened before McShay ever said that.
Well, but again, maybe it could be. You're right. But look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jalen Carter. What I'm saying is, and we know this, you and I have had these conversations. Right now, the way college sports is set up, like and NIL money, there are people giving these kids advice on a daily basis, and they know he's going to be a high pick. And they're trying to do everything to make sure that you're not doing something like the kid at Alabama is that's going to take away from his draft stock. You're going to make it as big as possible. But McShay, he got hammered for this. There were even talks about, should you know, was it defamation? Were there chances to make a lawsuit out of this? He knows that he shouldn't have said what he said, but he also realizes that this kid ain't going anywhere. He's going to be at the top of the draft class no matter what. But good on Jalen Carter for doing the things that he's doing to make a difference for his teammates, because that's where it all starts and ends. That's where I always took the most appreciation for players that took care of everybody within their locker room, from the equipment staff and the ball kids to the guys that aren't making as much money and making sure that they felt a part of everything they were doing. That's the kind of move that's going to translate well to the next level. That's the kind of move that's going to make you very popular in your next locker room.
Last one, Robert Woods was cut by the Titans. I've seen people banging the table to bring Robert Woods to the Houston Texans like he is the answer for the Houston Texans and their wide receiver room. Robert Woods was so bad at Tennessee that they cut him. How is he the answer?
Free.
And I understand his contract wasn't great, things like that. But how is Robert Woods the answer for the Houston Texans wide receiver room? Like this, he was nothing in Tennessee. He was supposed to be the guy who, I'm not going to say he was going to replace A.J. Brown, but was supposed to take some of the production from A.J. Brown, and he was a net zero all year for Tennessee. Why are you banging the drum for a 30-year-old receiver who's not very good? You already have one of those guys, but a better version. His name's Brandon Cooks.
This is a lesser conversation on the Dak Prescott. Same conversation we had the other day. It doesn't make sense for either side. He's going to try and resurrect his career by getting to a situation where he just fits in with a good team to where he can capitalize, get good stats, make more money in the long haul, maybe have more of a chance to win. But the Houston Texans, with a young rebuilding roster looking for another veteran that's trying to get the stats and do the things he wants to do to continue to make money, it ain't going to be here. It's not going to be now. Unless suddenly he becomes this great separation receiver that, you know, you can't miss throwing to him. But we've been there and done that with the Brandon Cooks and overpaying Brandon Cooks and the conversations we just had. Robert Woods is better suited for a team. Like, say, Rodgers comes back in Green Bay and they restructure his contract a bit. They're going to look at all the different options that they can add a couple of veterans to kind of fortify what they have with the young receivers on the team. If Woods is one of those guys, played in playoff games, understands that he runs the right routes, he's going to get the football, he's going to make plays, that's a situation that makes sense for him. But that the Texans situation makes zero sense for him. It makes zero sense for the Texans.
Not interested in a 31-year-old receiver who's going backwards in his NFL career. All right, it's Bad Take Boulevard. You can send all your bad takes next week to @PacManJoel. We've been making mock drafts great again. Let's do that when we come back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen in Richmond. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, March 8th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Everything that we've had here that Chris has brought us has been fantastic. We're at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. We'll be here for about another 45 minutes. Wheelhouse coming up after us, though, all the way until 7 o'clock. While we're here, $9.75 personal pizzas. The Texas cheesesteak pizza was phenomenal. Buffalo chicken pizza, all the specialty pizzas that you would like.
Shrimp.
Also, it's Lent season, fish and chips, fish sandwich. Yeah, Chris just brought us out the buffalo shrimp. That's an off-the-menu item, by the way. Whenever you want it, tell them that Blanker sent you.
It's the underground menu.
The size of the shrimp, too. I mean, look at that thing.
It's
a jumbo size shrimp.
Yep.
And I love buffalo anything, as you know, buffalo wings and buffalo shrimp.
See,
is always
the man
a
from
nice.
Buffalo thinks you love him too.
Yeah, there was a gentleman in a Yankees hat. We won't hold that against you. He says he's from Buffalo. He ordered Frankie's wings and he said they're fantastic, which validates everything I've been
Seal
trying
of
to
approval.
Tell you.
Seal
yeah.
of approval.
Their wings are unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, your baseball team is not unbelievable, but your taste in wings is. So very well played, sir.
second place finish in the American League East this year? Is that where we're
second in the East, third in the overall American League. Congratulations.
Second in the AL East?
Yeah.
Second in the AL East this coming season. Okay.
Oh, really?
I'll bet you some Buffalo wings on that.
I bet you Frankie Montas plays a big part in that, huh?
He said that the Yankees will have a better record than the Astros. We just bet some Buffalo wings on it. Hopefully he's better than the Twitchers, because every time I win a bet with Twitch, they never pay me.
Yeah, that's not good.
They never pay me for whatever reason. All right, well, let's make mock drafts great again. This is Garrett Puddle, I guess, of CBS Sports. We saw one yesterday.
Well, the last CBS Sports one, if it's anything like that, it composite.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. Anyways, this one has Chicago keeping their first overall pick and selecting Jalen Carter, which is the difficult thing here.
He's a good character guy, you know.
He buys food for the walk-ons on the team. So Jalen Carter goes number one to Chicago on this mock from Garrett Puddle of CBS Sports. Bryce Young goes number two. So Bryce Young to the Houston Texans at number two. It's been the growing trend, although I don't think Bryce Young's going to be there at number two. Will Anderson goes third to Arizona. C.J. Stroud goes number four to the Colts. And Tyree Wilson, again, in the top five. He has Tyree Wilson go number five to Seattle. Will Levis drops to number seven for Las Vegas, and Anthony Richardson drops to number nine for Carolina. Bijan Robinson in this draft falls to the bottom half of the first round to the Buffalo Bills, which Buffalo Bills fans, the two that I know, are over the moon about it. They really want Bijan Robinson to be a Buffalo Bill. We've been playing the exercise where we know who the Houston Texans are picking, according to this mock draft. Houston Texans are taking Bryce Young at number two in this. So on the clock, he has the Texans at number 12 taking Quentin Johnson, the wide receiver from TCU. After that, 13, he has the Jets taking Paris Johnson, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. At number 14, the Patriots go Christian Gonzalez, the corner from Oregon. And at 15, he has Green Bay taking Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. So
here
you're on the
again.
Clock. Yeah, it's the same dilemma we're facing each and every day. Do you go receiver there? Or do you go tight end there? We're both on the same page that we kind of want to help a rookie quarterback with that pick. A lot of people banging the drum for a wide receiver at 12, no matter what. I mean, a tight end safety blanket in a lot of ways can be just as good as a wide receiver. Yeah. I've been leaning tight end. It's become more and more difficult for me to do that, admittedly. But you're Nick Caserio in this practice. You're on the clock at number 12. You have the option of Quentin Johnston,
yep.
Paris Johnson, Christian Gonzalez, and Michael Mayer. Who are you going with?
I'm sticking with giving Bryce Young as much as he can possibly get surrounding him to make him the best quarterback he can be. I believe if Mayer is in the conversation, and most people think he is the number one tight end in this draft, and he is a true number one at tight end as opposed to all the different wide receivers, and Lance had questions about the hands of Johnston, I'm going to say pass on Johnston, get Mayer, get a tight end, because the Texans don't have anything on their roster worth talking about in terms of the tight end position for the long haul. I think that you get a guy like Mayer, you pair him with Bryce Young, and you're on your way to building the right offense for the future and for the next couple of years.
I'm gonna stay consistent here because I like the wide receivers that are gonna be there early second, even into the middle rounds of this draft. So give me the tight end. Give me Michael Mayer. I think a tight end security blanket for a rookie quarterback is huge too. So I'll go with Michael Mayer if I'm in the shoes of Nick Caserio here. I'm taking him over Quentin Johnson. I'm taking him over Paris Johnson. I'm taking over Christian Gonzalez. I'll go with the tight end of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer. Joe George, you put yourself in the shoes of Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I hate to base everything I do off of just what Lance's takes are or his mock draft. But I do look at his mock, and I see Christian Gonzalez going sixth overall. I was listening to a couple podcasts talking about how Gonzalez is going to tape really well. And I like the idea of walking away out of the first round with something that helps D'Amico and something that helps the offense. So I'm going to go Christian Gonzalez here and get another corner next to Stanley.
I thought about a scenario like that where you take corner, maybe not at 12, but early in this draft, with the idea of, you know, basically having your corners for what you feel is the next 5-7 years, where you can pair a corner with Derek Stingley. And I'm real intrigued by the idea. I also like Steven Nelson, though, but Steven Nelson's on the final
short-term,
year of his
short-term,
deal. He's
right.
got 1 year left.
Yeah. No, Nelson for one more year is just fine, because you're still developing on a week-to-week basis with what we saw of Stingley, and we said that he didn't get enough opportunities to play man. He also didn't get enough opportunities because they shut him down again. So you need to make sure that you're strengthening for the long haul this secondary, even if Stevie Nelson is capable of filling in for either corner spot while you're developing your two young corners. At a certain point, you turn it over to these two young kids and say, conceivably from where they're taken, you should be able to have two lockdowns that basically help you in the passing defense on a down-by-down basis. It can make a lot of sense until you start, and because you're still looking for the kind of guys DeMeco wants in his front seven that can wreak havoc in the backfield and put pressure on a quarterback. The best way, if you can't put pressure on, is to make sure you can defend the pass very well. That can be great. I just think that there's going to be so much extra scrutiny on whatever they do at quarterback that if Bryce Young is going to be the guy, I think that they'll use free agency and other dollars and other things that make sense to make DeMeco's defense better. But I think these first two picks in the first round are going to be offensive players.
It's hard for me to address corner before I'm addressing my edge guy. Like, to me, it's counterproductive. Like, you kind of mentioned the idea of, hey, you can cover a little bit longer. You can get to the quarterback better. But it works the other way, too. You get to the quarterback quicker, now you don't have to cover as long. And you're already supposed to have a franchise corner. You're already supposed to have one guy that can take away one half of the field. So if you already have that one guy, it's very difficult for me to go a second corner before I spend some serious draft capital on an edge defender. And it's why I like the idea of Will Anderson at number two. Like, I know I'm in the minority with that. I know you have these quarterback truthers that think the only way that you can ever get a quarterback is whenever they're the, you know, pioneer of a rebuild. Even though you go through all of these teams in the NFL, how did the top teams acquire their quarterbacks? Usually when they were already pretty good, already whenever they had a pretty good team in place. Pat Mahomes said it a year behind Alex Smith, who was going to the playoffs. The Buffalo Bills went to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor before they ever drafted Josh Allen. Now, Burrow's the exception to the rule, but even if you go to the last few Super Bowl champions, how many of them were drafting quarterback number one overall, number two overall? They weren't. So I'm a fan of the overall team construct. I'm not, you know, held hostage to the idea of you must get quarterback before all else. And I think Will Anderson's the best player in this draft. So if Will Anderson's there at two, give me Will Anderson. I'll figure out another way to get a quarterback in the short term and in the long term.
I think the other thing is, too, you have a method to your madness like we were talking about earlier. Like, if you know going into the draft that you've already talked to guys, you already know that you have a plan B at quarterback for the short term to bridge the gap, and you know that you're going to do what you need to do to strengthen up the roster in terms of from the foundational pieces, the defensive side of the football, but you know that basically offense is not you're going to take a pass, but offense is going to be probably the lesser of the two main sides of the football for the next year, and you're going to take your chances going into the next draft to try and address long-term quarterback there. You can see the writing on the wall as long as there's a method to the madness that they've already, with free agency going on, you know, and leading into the draft too, you're going to start talking about and looking at, hey, look, he's going to have conversations, whether he goes the direction we want to go and starts talking to some young guys to see if they're available, like Love, Lance, other guys, or he's going to look for a short-term solution that's not going to try and blow anybody's doors off, but is going to do what's necessary to at least be serviceable on the offensive side while you take some more lumps and realize, hey, we're building a defense that in a year or two could be really, really special, but for the time being, we're going to stay with the plan to make sure that we don't get off track, blow too much money, or take a risk on a flyer that doesn't turn out, and now we're taking a step back.
Yeah, and like the plan that I have to getting a quarterback, there's some domino effects there, certainly. Are you guaranteed to be able to trade back to the 5-6 range for a quarterback? And even if you are, well, there'll be
Come
the quarterback that you – yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate for using the Cleveland 2024 first-rounder as the bait that is needed for you to acquire your franchise quarterback. It doesn't even need to be this year.
I was going to say, you
could
use
could
that
potentially
same
pick
be next
year.
Yep.
But, like, people are going to say, well, if you're drafting Will Anderson at number two, what are you doing at the quarterback position? You have to have a plan for the quarterback position. Well, the quarterback position doesn't have to be the first thing that you fix in a rebuild. In fact, a lot of the recent good NFL organizations, it's the opposite. It's usually one of the last dominoes that they put in place to a Super Bowl contending team. The plans that I have for quarterback for the Texans, whenever I'm going Will Anderson at number two, I'm using that Cleveland 2024. I'm coupling it with number 12, and I'm trying to get back into the top five, probably 5, 6, 7 range, and draft one of the 2, 3 quarterbacks that I really like. If that is not an option presented to me, okay, well, what does the Hendon Hooker sweepstakes look like? How early do I need to use a draft pick to draft him coming off an injury? And I don't care if he's out for the first month of the year. I'm not trying to win football games in 2023.
Right.
I'm using the Rafael Stone model where I'm collecting talent and trying to win in the future with the idea of building a good young nucleus together. If Hendon Hooker misses the first 4 games of his 5-year contract, 4-year contract that I have him on, I don't care.
No, and the thing is, too, you're using it rationally the right way, too, right? You're looking at, when you're looking at free agency, you're approaching it from the concept of, I'm not looking for the big home run guy. per se, but I'm looking for guys that on the long haul are going to be here sustainably for the next 3-4 years that can continue to get better while the rest of my young roster improves, both with more, bringing more guys in and maturing and developing the guys you already have in so that they all come together at the right time. And you're not overspending and you're not leaving yourself handcuffed later financially, but you're making smart deals with younger players that have a higher ceiling, that have the ability to fit in and blend in with the guys you're bringing in and trying to build from the draft. And then it all makes even more sense because, like I said, now you've got a method to the madness. The plan is coming together. Some people on the outside might not see it, but if you're following it and you know the people are on board inside the building and you know that you're doing it the way you want to do it or the multitude of ways you spelled out you could do it, then you'll worry about the outside later. You know that you're going to be making progress. Whether you see it in wins or losses or not is a different story, but you know from a roster perspective you're going to see the progress, and we're going to see it if we watch every single play.
Is there a roster build that exists that doesn't need quarterback at number two? 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Let's give away a couple of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. It is back and will be hosting the 48th annual event, March 1st through 5th. It's the Reel, R-E-E-L, March Madness. Everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, all the reels, all the lures, factory reps, guides from Alaska to South America, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 48th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more information. Caller number 10 right now to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. Head over to HoustonFishingShow.com for more information. It's the Killer Bees live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen in Richmond. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Key from L.A. says, you Astros win one championship and don't know how to act, exclamation point. Leave the Yankees alone. I mean, it's two championships.
Talk about, you're a Dodger fan,
two
Key.
Two championships.
The cheating things just keep multiplying on you on a daily basis. You want a short-term one-third of the season ring, and you're going to still bump your gums? You know you did this Harry Houdini disappearing act the minute that the Astros won the World Series, and you did what you normally do in the postseason, and now you're coming back guns blazing? Put them back in the holster for a while, Chief. Let's see how this thing plays out.
You know who I feel sorry for Dodger fans a little bit. That they got,
why?
Because they got hoodwinked by Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I saw, and you're right about all of it, but let them bask in the crap. Let them roll around in it for a while and not be allowed in the house. Because they were the ones blowing their bullhorns and running their mouths about, oh, see what they did. We didn't do any of that stuff. We're innocent. They're guilty. And then you get Joe Kelly, and then you get all the other cheaters they kept trying to sign. Screw you, Dodger fans. That's all you do is bump your gums and don't win championships except for a short season. So go ahead. Take your medicine.
Your wife's a Dodger fan, right?
Yeah, she is. So is her whole family. Doesn't care. I got my own opinions.
Do y'all get into it when y'all get together?
It's more or less that we don't say anything at all.
Really?
Like I'm watching the Astros and I'm basking in the late innings as they're winning, and she's going to bed and she'll just kind of give me that kind of evil eye like, you already know. And I'm like, well, you know what? If your team got there, we could have a real legitimate conversation. Since you didn't, might as well jump on the bandwagon with me.
We were asking the question, 713-780-3776, live at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Swing on by. We're here for the next half hour or so. Wheelhouse will be here until 7. $9.75 personal pizzas. You get the message. $9.75, $97.5.
Oh, yeah.
But get on out here. Enjoy some of the very, very best food that there is. Buffalo wings are to die for. And if you're thinking about some buffalo shrimp off the menu item, tell them that they'll do it for you if you mention Joel Blank. But we were talking about options to build this team without drafting a quarterback at two. I think you can make the case that it's the wise thing to do, especially if you think that the best player available is not quarterback. If you think Will Anderson's a better football player, this is assuming that, you know, who knows what the Bears are going to do at number one. But if you're sitting there on the clock and you have Bryce Young, Will Anderson, both on the board, you think Will Anderson is going to impact games more than Bryce Young. Maybe you think Bryce Young's too small. Maybe
or
you don't
have
believe
a better career.
Yeah, better career. You don't believe that a quarterback, you can win with a small quarterback for a variety of reasons, whatever your reasoning is. I don't think that you have to hold yourself hostage to the idea of drafting quarterback at number two for the sake of drafting quarterback at number two.
Right. That's where you have to start getting to the mentality of, I don't care what the public perception of the move is. If this is what inside our building makes sense, then I have to be able to live by that. Now, the one caveat, Jeremy, that you have to factor into this, because it is tough, but there are organizations that are willing to do it, and they're willing to tell you that they were willing to do it, is the fact that Caserio's seat's probably getting pretty warm. And so as a general manager who wants to be here to see his contract through, you start wondering if, hey, I understand this is probably from a franchise perspective, this is the right move to make, but even if I'm the one that makes it and I believe it's the right move to make, I could pay the ultimate price for it, because if we don't make significant strides in terms of roster development and the roster itself and things like that, I might be the guy that's going to have all the guns pointed at me going, you got to go, man, because you're not doing anything.
I agree with you with the notion that selecting a rookie quarterback almost buys you time as a general manager, because you could win four games next year, rookie quarterback looks like he has hope, and it's like, okay, we're doing something.
Deshaun, right?
Yeah, you're showing something. Okay, we got a rookie quarterback. We got a chance in a few years. So I agree with the notion that drafting a rookie quarterback buys a general manager more time. My biggest fear, though, is actually that the McNair's in an effort to like act normal make the decision instead of Caserio.
You're right. They are worried excessively about public perception now with Cal and everything else.
Look at the entire Texans offseason, right? Like, they've talked about the rebranding. They've talked about the new uniforms that are going to come in place in 2024. They've made heavy reference to H-Town Blue, and they're saying, well, it's not Love You Blue. It's H-Town Blue, because look at the old cop cars in Houston. That's H-Town Blue. That's not Love You Blue. So everything is with like a with the mindset of, we have to give back to the fans who have sit in misery these last few years for a variety of different reasons, right? There's been a lot of reasons for the fans to kind of lose interest on the Texans. You know, Easterby, Watson, lack of production. We see it with the attendance numbers, the tailgate, all of it, all of it. So this entire offseason's almost been about rebranding. It's been about, you know, getting the fans back on board. It's been hiring the top candidate on the market from a fan perspective in D'Amico Ryans, right? I think that the McNairs might be the one at number two making the pick, or at least directing Caserio and D'Amico. The rest of the draft is yours, but we need a quarterback that the fans can jump on and bring some interest back to this organization. That's my biggest fear with the draft, actually.
Well, and I agree with you, because I think that you're right. I think that after digging themselves quite a hole in public perception circles with the way Cal has been an embarrassment, with the way the organization has had missteps, with the way that they've mishandled the coaching searches and the Deshaun situation to a degree, or just the bad look it's given the organization, to the Jack Easterby fiasco, they're trying to dig out of it now. And whether they want to admit it or not, we've seen enough to know whether they're getting inside help, outside help, or both. They are trying to resurrect their image in a positive way. They're trying to do things differently. And that's what's scary when it relates to football operations, because sometimes you're going to make decisions that, from a public perception standpoint, are not going to look and be looked at with the regard of being favorable. But in a couple of years, they might turn around and pay off and pay more dividends than anybody that you could have drafted that the public wanted at number two, at number 12, in those key positions in the early first round. And that's going to be a tough call for the organization, because they need to also realize the weight of the things. The uniforms, there's certain cachet to it, but there's not a whole lot of weight when it comes to building and making a winning football team. And so you understand it doesn't have the same weight and the same value as getting some players that look like they were smarter, better, more impactful players for the short and long term than the guy that the public and the media think that you should take. And you got to make a tough decision there, and I hope they're willing to make it.
6019, look no further than the we're talking about roster builds without drafting quarterback at number two. Don't think it's an absolute necessity. Says look no further than the 49ers, who is coach we just got, talking about Bobby Slowak. They're successful without having a franchise quarterback. I don't like that example, quite honestly, because the 49ers are like this anomaly that have an incredible, talented roster outside of the quarterback position. And even the 49ers told you that we feel we need to go get the quarterback. But even the 49ers told you, we need to go get the quarterback.
Sure,
they traded for Trey Lance. Now, did they miss? I think the jury's probably still out with that because of injuries. But even Kyle Shanahan, the great Kyle Shanahan, and this great San Francisco 49er roster, even they tried to go get quarterback. Now, they're more of the argument of a team that already built everything else.
That's what I'm
saying. And then the last domino was quarterback as opposed to the first domino.
They had the luxury the Texans don't have of having a loaded rest of the roster. That they've made savvy talent evaluation moves from trading guys on the D line because they had an access to getting more picks, then turning around and using those picks when they needed to just being able to pick out guys in the late rounds and the mid rounds that turn into starting running backs and starting position players that allow you to do the other things where you take more of a swing and miss or a bigger gamble because the rest of your roster is already made. It's already really, really good. And at a certain point, the Texans may get there, but they're not nearly there yet, as we all know. And so that's an issue that they have to address as well, going, this is an easier decision if you're San Francisco because you've got so many different talented players already on your roster. You can take a little swing and miss here, or you can go boom or bust a little bit more than making sure you get a can't-miss prospect, whereas the Texans need as many can't-miss players as they can get at this point with the way their roster is currently constructed.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Got to get Blanker's thoughts on Aaron Rodgers leaving his darkness retreat. And is he the Packers' starting quarterback heading into 2023? It's the Killer Bees live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from Frankie's Italian Kitchen in Richmond for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Thanks again to Chris and his staff. Having us out at Frankie's Italian Kitchen today was fantastic. Perfect spot to come have some lunch. Great spot today. They'll be here until 7. The Wheelhouse will. $9.75 personal pizzas while they're here. Texas cheesesteak, bacon barbecue, buffalo chicken, any specialty pizzas. It is Lent season. Fish and chips, fish sandwich, crawfish pasta. But just a spot to, I mean, it's a classy joint. They got a full bar, wall-to-wall TVs. Chris is an Astros fan, so anytime once the Astros get to playing, you know that the Astros will be on here as well. So this is the spot. If you're in the area, swing on by. It is fantastic. Wings to die for, too. I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe it.
Dino's Bar, 8 big-screen TVs, watch all the sports, talk to the expert himself, ask for Chris, and then just pick a topic, and he'll roll with you like a barrel downhill. When he's not sampling wine and getting people the right combinations of what mixes well and best with what dishes for your palate, he'll talk sports with you any day of the week.
Yeah, which, by the way, I can't believe how big a boomer you are. I gotta say.
Why?
You're sitting here asking everybody
why
in the house.
Why do you need to
house
put my business out there?
Because it's hilarious. That's why.
Okay,
mostly for the content.
It's not hilarious.
It is pretty funny.
I've got
Andrew,
issues.
Is it funny?
You,
Cody, is it funny? Everybody thinks it's funny.
You make schedules based on your U of H schedule.
Sure.
I make schedules based on my kids.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But the big thing is that we're doing route evaluations at this point to make sure that I don't miss the pickup line. Because the devastating fallout from that is something I don't want to fathom. So I'm like, I have a certain amount of allotted time to get me
right
to the pickup line.
I get all of that. I'm worried
about traffic and congestion, and I go to the experts to tell me what is the safest, timeliest route to get me where I need to go, and Chris was giving me the route.
They all said, I don't know.
Well, that's not right. Well, then
I'm quoting them.
Well, then I got to trust my gut and go with what the old
See,
reliable is. Because then I went to Google Maps, and Google Maps told me that it fit into my time window to take the safest route. So that's because he's at first – the route he gave me sounded great, but then he was like, oh, well, you know this neighborhood, so you can just finagle your way through there to find the next highway. And I'm like, not so much.
You're
not
going
to do that.
You're not a boomer because you got to go pick up your daughter. Like, I appreciate that. That is important. You need to be able to go pick up your daughter. I get it. You just need a navigation app that you can trust.
I don't trust the navigation of my car, but you're right. And
get
I look,
Waze.
I don't deny, when you say Waze, I completely agree with you.
All right.
But that doesn't mean that I've done
well,
it.
You should
yet
do that more often.
That would make it for a crappy show.
You should do that more often. Aaron Rodgers.
Who?
Are we calling him a boomer? Is he a boomer? He left his darkness retreat. Could you do this darkness retreat, by the way? 4 straight days, complete
Andrew
darkness?
Andrew and I were talking about this before the show. It's a 300-square-foot place. You got a commode, a yoga mat.
How do you find it?
Well, you get in there when the lights are on, and then at a certain point they go, ready, set, start, I guess. It's more than halfway underground.
Okay.
You have a commode, a queen-size bed.
Are you microdosing in the process?
And a mat. I don't know where the food's coming from. I don't know. Like,
they slide it to you like gel.
Maybe. But, like, never in a million years. It sounds more like prison than a vacation.
What are
like,
you eating, by the way?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what you're eating, how you're getting it. You're more than halfway down underground anyway, where they're dropping it down in like a well situation where they put a basket on a rope and drop it down to you. I don't know how you're finding everything in complete darkness, from the commode to if you do want to do yoga to the fact that you need 4 days to figure out what your future holds. I mean, solitary is solitary. There's nothing else to do but think. I would pretty much think that you could work out with between you and you what you need to work out for your future in less than 24 hours. I don't need 4 days of that.
Could you do it?
For what price? He's paying to do it. You
got
to pay
wellness
me to do it.
Mental wellness.
No.
Mental health's big these days.
Great.
Your health is your wealth.
invest in yourself. Go see the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Don't go see some person that's going to put you halfway underground without killing you, and also make sure that you pay for it, and then you get no luxuries or conveniences, and you're on your own for 4 days to bang your head in the dark. No,
I could do it. I could do it. The price is important here, because I'm not doing it for free.
Could is different than would. Yeah. I could do it. Would I do it? No, I don't want to
do it. Do you think you'd be sane by the time you were done?
Yeah.
I imagine I'd sleep a lot.
I would think there's not much of hell. Well, I mean, there's a few things, but not a whole lot that you're going to do over the course of 4 days.
Do you think you would lose track of what time it is?
Yeah.
I think so, too. Like, that would be the first thing I would do is try to guess the time. Whenever I leave my...
That's bad, because now, when you're starting to guess it...
I mean, you can figure it out.
You realize, man, I still got a long way to go.
No. I'm saying when they let you out. Oh. Well, I guess you would know then. Because if you're out at a certain time, you would know. Yeah. Never mind. That wouldn't work. I'm an idiot. Anyways, he's out of his darkness retreat, which is great for everybody, except for those that don't like Aaron Rodgers. Which I don't know. I don't think that you like Aaron Rodgers, to be quite honest
with
you.
Off the field, I don't. On the field, I love him because he makes my team better.
Okay. You think he's going to be the Packers quarterback?
I've told you I do, and I still do. I think he's going to be the Packers quarterback. I think making almost $59 plus million next season, that the options are very clear first and foremost, unless you restructure, and how much you're going to restructure, and then what are you going to, and then the trades have to, talk has to happen, that I think that it makes the most sense for him to still be in Green Bay next season. I know Jake hates to hear that because Jake's got every finger and toe crossed that he's going to be a Jet, but to me, those are the two options. And to Jake's credit, the point that he made, which is very spot on, is he's not retiring, which is one of the options on the table, because he doesn't want to go into the Hall of Fame with Brady and J.J. Watt. He wants it, as always and everything, to be about him.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't care about himself.
He also still feels like he can win MVPs, and he can still win football games, and he wants to win another one because, again, Aaron Rodgers cares about Aaron Rodgers, and that means winning two, not one, means a whole lot more on the grand scheme of things. So he wants to go to a winner. He wants to play for a Super Bowl. In the NFC, it's much easier than a jam-packed AFC.
Do you think the Jets are with Rodgers are better than the Packers with Rodgers?
Maybe. No.
I think that they are. I think they're quite a bit better, actually. I think they have a better defense. They have better targets, too. They have Breece Hall coming out of injury. They have Garrett Wilson, who had a phenomenal rookie year. I think the Jets with Rodgers are better than the Packers with Rodgers.
Depending on the conference, Jeremy. I think in the AFC, I don't think that
the path, but that's a different conversation. Like, one might be the path, but I'm just talking about those two teams head-to-head.
But I think Aaron Rodgers, and again, this is the other thing that not enough people are talking about, too. At this stage in his career, when he's been given as much freedom as he's been given in Green Bay, from play calling to when he can show up to what he's doing to who he's doing it with to all the different things that he does that he gets away with in Green Bay, then you talk about the playbook and everything else he's got to relearn and he's got to redo and he's got to go through at his age. I don't think he wants to do all that. And I think that then he's going to feel the extra pressure because no matter where he goes, if they don't win, it's all his fault. If they do win, he joined a ready-to-win situation as opposed to Green Bay, which is they'll take the good, they take the bad, and they just understand you're all we've had for the last how many years. We're going to keep rolling with you, and we hope we get another one. And so I think that at his age, with all those variables – it's better for him to stay, and then if he restructures, now they might use that money to go out and get a veteran receiver or two, try and use the draft picks to do whatever they think is going to make them a better team in the NFC, but also realizing it's the NFC. The path is a hell of a lot easier than going through all the gauntlet that the AFC teams bring to the table.
I think both things are true, because I agree with you. I mean, it's clear the NFC gauntlet is not nearly the gauntlet of the AFC. But I think if you were to compare the Jets roster versus the Packers roster and then put Rodgers as the quarterback of each one, I think the Jets are a more talented team.
Okay.
Then look, they have his former OC too, Nathaniel Hackett. Like, does that come into
Who
play at all?
Who didn't call a single play. So,
but in terms of the language and the offensive system, though.
But that's my point in the fact that Aaron has called every play. Aaron overrules LaFleur and Hackett and anybody else that has a big title. So Aaron's going to come into a new environment with a new head coach. I don't know if Saleh's going to be on board with that. I don't know. Obviously, Hackett's been in there and worked with him before, so that'll work for him. But overall, it's a totally different culture and a whole new coaching staff and a whole new set of players to understand what they do, what they don't do, where they're best, where I know they're going to be, whereas you know where Aaron Jones is going to be. You know Bakhtiari is your left tackle. You know where Robert Tonyan, your tight end, goes. You know the different things that you've known for multiple years that you don't know with wherever you end up, and I think that's going to factor in as well. I don't know for sure anything that where he goes and where he ends up, but I think overall when you start locking yourself up for 4 days and you all have tons to think about. That had to cross his mind, too.
Yeah, I think it probably did. Chris from Beaumont, Rodgers is a D. I'm sorry, but he's a really weird dude. If he's doing stupid stuff like that, I'm not signing him as my quarterback. Sorry, clearly he's got issues.
Look,
I don't think he's got issues.
I
just think he's really weird.
He's just different, right? Yeah, and he's eclectic and all these
But really weird dudes win championships all the time.
Sure. But Dennis Rodman and basketball and other guys, and you could go across the board.
He has.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When you think about it from the Rodgers perspective, and he's trying to do what he's trying to do for his legacy and otherwise, I think that you look at the landscape and you think that he has so much more to lose by going somewhere else where every expectation is going to be on his shoulders, to where he can still ride it out into the sunset. He's still going to be a legend in Green Bay. He's never going to be hated in Green Bay. And then if he restructures, which is something he's never been willing to do, you can use that extra money to maybe explore a trade for DeAndre Hopkins or get himself a couple veterans to go with those young rookies and then take your chances there and say, I got a good chance to make a run again in the NFC. We were there 2 out of the last 3 years in the NFC Championship game. We could do this again.
Hopkins in a Packers uniform would look funny, by the way.
It would look funny, but it would be just like a Davante Adams in terms of a safety blanket, go-to guy with great hands. One thing Rodgers can do, no matter where he is in his career, is put it in the right small windows. And DeAndre's going to pull it in. And it's going to be a lot easier pulling him in from him than Kyler Murray. And because most of the division is indoors now, I don't see Hopkins as being one of those gutty, gritty, snow and winter conditions guys. But I think if they play a majority of their games in good conditions, which they will in the regular season, he'll be just fine.
Three teams he can play for next year? Packers, Jets, Raiders. Am I missing anybody?
No,
it's those
right.
three teams, right? Pie
right.
charted for me.
Long shot, Saints.
Okay, let's eliminate them for the moment.
Right.
Let's pie chart Jets, Packers, Raiders.
We know Carr can't go to the Raiders, and he can go to the Jets. So I think, because they've already met with Carr, I think that there's a better chance Rodgers goes to the Raiders than he does the Jets. And I think from the Packers' perspective, I think that they would really like to trade him. And they're intrigued by the fact that they don't like to piss him off. And if he hears they're talking and they're instigating the talks, then it's bad on them.
Yeah.
But if he does come back and says he wants a trade, Green Bay's okay taking the Raiders' number 7 pick and getting multiple picks that can help them get better quicker because the roster ain't that bad and it's very young.
I'll go 45% chance Packers, 35% chance Raiders, 10% chance Jets.
I'll go with that.
You good with that?
Yep.
All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to assistant to the regional manager, Joe George, for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. Thanks again to Chris and Frankie's Italian Kitchen for the amazing hospitality and the delicious food. And Andrew Carlson for looking really pretty as he does all the things with the comments.
He actually has a level 10 sunburn on the back of his neck now.
Yeah, he looks great. All right, the Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.